Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dove Ministries of Love, a production of Dove Ministries. Join Apostle Diane as she shares wisdom from the Word of God about topics that we are faced with in our lives every day. Listen with an open heart and spirit as you can receive impartation and understanding. We are taking prayer requests and your questions live at 1-347-857-4133. Let the anointing of God lift your burdens and destroy yokes of bondage in your life. You will never be the same. Our website is www.dove-ministries.com.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, or maybe it's the afternoon, or it could possibly be the evening where you're listening to. But this is Apostle Diane Nutt, and you have tuned in to Dove Ministries of Love. And I'm so glad that you have joined me today, and I'm just so honored by the Lord always to be that vessel that He can pour through and to be used by Him for His glory. What an honor and privilege it is to be able to serve the Lord in this hour and in this day. And wow, we are really, truly living in such an amazing time. And, there's fixing to be such a mighty outpouring of God's glory in the earth. But there's fixing to be an amazing breakthrough of Christians, of believers, of disciples of the Lord who are going to start manifesting the power of God Almighty. And that is you and me. And I'm ready to just dive in there, but let me just say a few things. We had our prophetic healing gathering this past Sunday night, and wow, God just moved so powerfully, and I'm always in awe at these meetings. We have them once a month. They're on the first Sunday night of every month, so if you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, please come and join us. They are on, again, the first Sunday night of every month, and the prophetic word of the Lord comes forth for the corporate body, but also for individuals as well. And we just see the healing power of God manifested. Words of knowledge are given, and people are healed. And we've seen people have amazing financial breakthroughs, marriages restored, relationships restored. It's just amazing what God does, and of course, we always give Him all the glory and honor and praise because He is certainly doing what He said that He would do and fulfilling His word. And so, but anytime you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come on out to Church of His Glory. You can go to the website, which is www.churchofhisglory.org. And always you can go to the website, Dove Ministries website, www.dove-ministries.com, or the other one I think that's on the intro, and that's Dove Men RC, or dovemen.com. It's dovemin.com. And so, anyway, okay, now we have that out of the way, and I just always want to give that information to you, make that available, because I love seeing you. In fact, several of you have come to the prophetic healing gatherings, and it's such a joy and an honor to meet you and to see you and all those who are listening. And so I'm going to just go on ahead and dive right in. You know, we're talking about releasing our spirit man and living a life of brokenness. And I see some of you are already, you're calling in with questions, with prayer requests, and I will take them. I promise I will. I just want to go ahead and, you know, teach for just a little bit, and because it seems like once I start taking the calls, it doesn't stop, and next thing you know, it's you know, the program's over. And I believe it's really, really important that the sons and daughters of God are taught and equipped. So many people that I run into on a weekly basis, and, you know, even those who I don't run into, but possibly those who I speak with, you know, on the phone, and people are always saying, you know, how do you walk in the presence of God? Excuse me. And my dear friend, Sid Ross told me several years ago, he said, Diane, he said, every time I talk to you, he said, I feel the presence of the Lord. He said, it doesn't matter if it's in the daytime or the evening or whenever it is, that I feel the presence of the Lord in your life. And, you know, people just continually comment on that. But it's interesting when I began to tell people the process and what I, what I have to respond to people, it's not a real popular subject, and it's not necessarily what, everyone wants to hear. But nevertheless, there is things that you have to do, and it's not an ABC or a 1-2-3, but to be a person that is walking in the presence of God, releasing your spirit man, you must choose a life of brokenness. And so I've been started a few weeks ago on the teaching of walking in, releasing your spirit and walking in brokenness. And if you can just for a minute, if you can just picture like three circles, much like what if you're doing shooting bow and arrow, if you're doing the arrow thing, I'm sorry, I don't know what that's called, but, you know, you're shooting at the target, at the bullseye. If you look at that real small circle, just try to visualize this or draw it on a piece of paper, and that if you have the opportunity to do that, it's a real good thing if you want to do this. Sometimes it helps so much to have a visual. But when you draw that little circle, and then you draw the next circle and the next circle, so you have three circles. So that middle circle represents your inner man. And so your inner man is your spirit man. That's your spirit. And then the second circle, that represents your outward man, and that represents your soul man. So your inner man is your spirit man on the inside of you. Your outward man is your soul man. And then that third circle is your outermost man, which is your body. And so, you know, we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And so when you're born again, your spirit man becomes completely new, completely transformed, changed, because your spirit man, who you really, truly are, was born out of the carnal realm, the carnal nature, out of Adam. And so when you're born again, your spirit man is born of the incorruptible seed of God. So your inner man, your spirit man, who you are, is a brand new person. And the thing is that the fullness of God, and this is what a lot of people don't understand and don't really comprehend because it's hard to, that is the fullness of God is already in you. Everything that you have need of, everything that you desire, is going to come forth out of your innermost being, your spirit man. Now, that's powerful. If we can just grasp that and know that, and someone might be thinking right now, well, why do I then have to stay in the Word? Because the Word of God is your life and spirit. Your outer man, which is your soul man, which is your mind, will, and emotions, is what God uses here in the earth so that you can live this life that we must live here in the earth, okay? So it's your mind and your will and your emotions that has to get saved. That's why God says today is the day of salvation. Okay, today is the day of salvation. So every day, you know, there are things that happen and things that the enemy uses and things that people say. And, you know, we just run into all kinds of things every single day that part of third part of our, that one third part of our being, that soul man, we have to have those adjustments. And our soul man has to get saved. It has to, it has to receive the life of Christ. And otherwise, we would drown in our sorrows and drown in pity and all kinds of stuff, depression and suicidal thoughts. And so our soul has got to get saved. So that's why God said today is the day of salvation. You were saved, but every day your soul needs to get saved. We ask Jesus to come into our hearts and our lives, and, we come in, and some of us had bad habits. You know, some of us had things that didn't automatically just go away, and so you had to walk out your salvation. Now, remember, I shared in the very beginning of this series of teaching on releasing your spirit man and walking in brokenness that this is the year. I mean, yes, God has got double doors, and there's double joy, there's double honor, and, you know, it seems like every year there's just such, amazing words like that spoken, exactly like that. And the truth is that we as the children of God have to realize that God has given us a great mission on this earth, and that is to establish the kingdom of God in the earth, to take dominion and to possess the land that he wants to give to us. But it's for the kingdom of God. And so we have got to change. It's just the bottom line. We must change. And, you know, my cry is, Lord, change me. And, you know, years and years ago, you know, Lord, change my husband. Please change Kenneth. He needs to do this. He needs to, you know, and like I said, this is years ago. And one day the Holy Spirit just quickened me, and he said, Diane, he said, well, how about you? Oh, okay, Lord, please forgive me. You know, we want people to change, but we're not changing. Come on, y'all. And so, you know, my cry is every day since then. That was close to 30 years ago, and I've been, Lord, change me. Let me keep changing, going from glory to glory and faith to faith. We say that all the time, y'all, but the truth is we don't see it. And then we're like, what's wrong with this? You know, I'm confessing that and I'm speaking that I'm going from glory to glory and faith to faith, but we don't see anything different. And the reason why is because we're not doing anything different. And what's sad is that a majority of folks in the body of Christ, of saints, because we are saints. We were sinners saved by grace, and now we are saints of the Most High God. And the sad thing is that so many sons and daughters live in the memory of a moment in God's presence. And you can't live in his presence by memory. But yet that's what we do, because we remember back to that meeting we were in, that gathering that we went to, that special moment that we had in our homes. And so we're trying to live in the presence of God through memory. And that will never, ever, ever, ever produce anything except for frustration and dissatisfaction. Because God wants us to encounter his presence and to manifest his presence every single day of our life. And, you know, someone would think, well, you know, now, Apostle Nut, we just can't do that. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And there are some steps to doing that. There are keys to releasing your spirit man and living a life of brokenness. And in fact, you can't release your spirit until your soul man is broken, until it's destroyed, really. And, you know, that's kind of a strong word to use. But, you know, the flesh is so weak, but the spirit is so willing. And so we have to learn to surrender this soul. I don't know about some of y'all, but I used to sing this song years ago, and some of you might know it, and some of you may not know it, because it actually is a secular song, so don't be sending me no emails or giving me no phone calls or anything, but I used to sing this song. I'm a soul man, I'm a soul man. I sang that all the time. I loved it. And man, was I a soul woman. Come on, somebody. It's okay to laugh and to have a good time. And then you know what? I finally got delivered and saved from all that stuff because, you know, I came out of the wilderness and I started singing, I'm a spirit man. I'm a spirit man. I'm a spirit man. We are spirit. And so when I stand before people sometimes, a lot of times this kind of analogy will come out. I'll tell people, because, you know, I like to dress a certain way, and because it's just me. It's what I like. And I'll tell people, you know, look at this right here. This is not who I really am. This is only what I like to wear. It's only what I like to wear. It's not who I am. And so if you want to know who I am, you have to know me by the Spirit. There's no other way to know God except by the Spirit. So if we are spirit people, there is no other way to know each other except by the Spirit. And in truth, God said in his word, no man after the flesh, but only after the Spirit. Because when you get to knowing folks' flesh, man, it starts to stink. Come on, that's how it is with everybody. And so what happens is, you know, I see people all the time, and there's such a longing, and you feel that draw and that pull, and, you know, you want to manifest the power of God and the presence of God. And, you know, for years I've cried and I've said, Lord, let me feel from others what they feel from me. Let me feel the presence of God in their lives. And the Lord's like, Diane, people need to be taught. And brokenness is not a popular message. But we hunger as the sons and daughters of God to release this dunamis power that is in us. We know there is power, greatness inside of us. And, you know, throughout the few years of I've been doing this program since April of 2010, almost 4 years. And throughout the course of this time, you know, from time to time, I've had you to ask God and to pray, God, increase my capacity to be able to receive what you have for me, to be able to receive the greatness of who you are. Because let me tell you something, dear brother and sister, God is big in you. He is great in you. You may feel weak. Oh, but let the weak say that I am strong. You may feel like you're poor and you don't have anything to give. But let the poor say that I am rich because of the greatness of God, this treasure that I house on the inside of who I am. He is a treasure. And treasures, when you find a treasure, wow, there's just all kinds of beautiful things. When you open up a treasure chest or a treasure box, And so God intended for our spirit, for man's spirit, to be his home, or some would want to say his dwelling place. So the Holy Spirit making a union with our spirit is so that our soul can be governed. And then the spirit and soul will use your body as a means of expression. We're made up of three parts, remember, body, soul, and spirit, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so God wants to use you this year. He wants this year to be the year that you receive deliverance and salvation. That's what the number 14 means. And it's not just you know, it's a prophetic thing, yes, of course. And you know, many have been told, you know, okay, 14 is 2 sevens, yes, 2 completions. But do you understand even what that means? Completion means that there are things that you are doing that and steps that you are taking to bring a closure, to bring an end to something in your life. The number 7 is completion, but it is also perfection. So when we receive that completion, because you and I have taken the steps necessary, then God perfects that which concerns us. He brings a perfection of himself in and through us. And so the Holy Spirit desires in you. When you're born again, then your spirit man begins to develop, and there's an opening up, if you will, within you to begin to, for the Holy Spirit to come so that you can govern your soul, so that you can take authority over the things of your soul, because your soul always leads you away from God. Because your soul desires the things of the flesh, the mind, the will, and emotions. And so the enemy uses the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Those are the things that pertain to the soul. Okay? So we need to crucify this flesh, yes, but our outer man, our soul, must be broken. Because your spirit man is waiting to be released in and through you. And so as an instrument of God, Key Austin Sparks, if you can ever get a hold of any of his stuff, wow, he really, really just magnificently puts it in such simplicity about mastering your soul, mastering self. And it's just, I mean, he's just amazing, you know, man of God, the things that he wrote. So again, if you can ever get your hands on anything that he has written, I would admonish you to do so. But he said that an instrument, as an instrument, the soul has to be won, mastered, and ruled in relation to the higher and different ways of God. And so we hear this all the time. God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. But we still try to get him to conform to our ways. And he says, no, you have to conform to my ways. And that's why so often his ways and his thoughts, they just don't make any sense. That's because these little carnal minds of ours cannot understand. That's why you need to stay constantly every day. You have to stay in the Word of God. And then as you stay in the Word of God, then, and you get that Word in you, then you can begin to change. Now, remember, he said that, he said in Hebrews chapter 12, he said that we need to commit our ways to him, or excuse me, wait, not Hebrews. Let me turn over here. Romans. Excuse me, it says Romans. Yes. He says, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its ideals and its new attitudes. And that's the only way truly that you can change, is if you change your mind, okay? So now watch this. So we read, you know, quite often in the scriptures is that we have to learn how to gain and exercise that authority that God has given to us. Remember, your inner man is the place where the Spirit of God, where Holy Spirit is able to come and to work in you, to work through you, to speak to you, and to use you. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on. Your inner man, your spirit man, what God uses to be able to communicate with you. Okay, and so now in the beginning of teaching on this series here, I shared some scriptures with you. One of them was Luke 21:19. And it says, in your patience, you shall win your souls. In your patience, you shall win your souls. Okay, he said, now watch this, he said that you, in your patience, well, some of us, we're so impatient with ourselves. You know, sometimes you expect too much of yourself and you don't give yourself the opportunity to be who you are because you're looking at what you want to be. And if you're looking too much at what you want to be, then you'll get frustrated with yourself, especially if you're a person who is a perfectionist, where everything just has to be perfect. I used to be like that. When our children were young, they're married now and got children, but when they were young and they were at home and my husband would come home from being out of town, I used to get so upset. I would be so hurt and so sad. And finally, of course, you know, this was in my immature days, giving what we call the silent treatment. I did the silent treatment. Can y'all believe that? I did the silent treatment. But, you know, and my husband, he would say, well, what's wrong? He'd say, what's wrong, Diane? I know something's wrong with you. And, you know, finally I would give in because I really didn't want to talk to him because I was just so wounded and hurt. But that's just where I was, you know, 30-something years ago. But finally I would say, well, dear, you've said absolutely nothing about the house. And he said, well, Diane, he goes, our home, it always looks the same. You know, because I would work my little behind off to keep it clean and to keep it nice looking. And, you know, people, our commodes were so clean you could eat your breakfast off of them. But that's just because I was a perfectionist. And, you know, God had to teach me by the Holy Spirit his perfection, you know, and not my perfection. And so my husband could never, it just, our home always looked the same, and he never saw a difference in it. And so that was good and not good. Again, that perfectionist in me. And so sometimes we're not patient with ourselves. But he said, endure patience, that's what it says in the Bible. In your patience, it says, you shall win your soul. Okay, now, patience, I teach this all the time. You are not going to have any patience if you are not walking in the Word of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So righteousness, you and I are the righteousness of God Almighty through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But you do not manifest that righteousness unless you're walking in it. You have to walk in the Word. And then he said in John, he said, if you continue in my Word, I believe it's in chapter 6, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples. And then the truth that you know, it shall keep you free. It shall set you free. So remember, it's not just you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You have to continue in it every single day. So because you're walking in right standing with God, the peace of God that passes all understanding is there in your life continually. And out of that peace, you have patience. Patience is a byproduct of peace. Someone might want to write that down. Patience is a byproduct of peace. You can't have patience if you don't have the peace of God in your life. This is not going to work. And then the joy comes because we are releasing the dominion of the kingdom. What's the dominion of the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Okay? So he said, in your patience, you shall win your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. That is what must be won. Now, some of you have heard me teach this before, and a lot of people have not agreed, and that's totally perfectly fine, that all I'm doing is just speaking the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, he who wins souls is wise. That scripture is not talking about bringing unbelievers into the kingdom of God. If it was, it would have said so. It would have said getting people saved. It says, he who wins souls is wise. Because when you're walking in the wisdom of God, you have, by the Holy Spirit in you, your inner man that is cooperating with the Holy Spirit and working with the Holy Spirit, coming into union with the Holy Spirit, which is manifesting the Father in Jesus, then you have the wisdom. You know, the wisdom, when you walk in the Word of God, you have the wisdom of God to speak. And so wisdom, the wisdom of God, is what makes you wise. So he said, it's a wise man who wins souls. Okay? So praise the Lord. Maybe someone you just got that revelation. Now, that's not talking about bringing people into the kingdom of God. Okay, that was just free. Okay, moving on. So that was Luke chapter 21, verse 19. And then 1 Peter 1, 22 says, you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Okay? So you have purified your soul. In your obedience to the truth, that means when you do say, not my will, but your will, God, and you walk in that truth, you obey him, then guess what? Your soul gets purified. Just think of it as every time that you obey the truth, the word is washing your soul. It's cleaning up your mind, your will, and your emotions. Or you can even go too far, because sometimes it stings a little bit. You can go as far as saying it's like hydrogen peroxide. You know, you pour the word on those places that are hurting and cut open in your life, and all of the dirt, all of the hurt, all of the resentment, all of the anger, all of the bitterness, and all of the pride or the strife, all of that stuff, it just comes to the top, and it's skimmed off, you know, because the word of God, it purifies. Okay, in Matthew, God says in his word that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. People are constantly coming to me. I want to see God, you know. I've gotten tons of letters, emails, phone calls, and still to this day, from when I was on the TBN Praise the Lord program with Sid back in October, with people, I want to see God like you do. I want to have experiences and encounters like that. Here's your answer right here. Here's the way right here. This is the way that you encounter heaven and the things of God. And I'm telling you, it's living a life of brokenness and learning how to release your spirit. And so you have purified yourselves in your obedience to truth. And then to the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, which is 1 Peter 1:9. And so let me get over here right quick. 1 Peter 1:9. At the same time, you receive the result, the outcome, the consummation of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so in this journey, what happens is when you win or you master and your spirit begins to rule over your soul, you hear so clearly God's thoughts and his, and you know his ways. And then you get to this place to where your voice has become so much like his and your thoughts begin to come like his. Hard sometimes to discern within yourself if it's you or if it's him, because it's so clear. There's just a clarity that is there. And so that's just a little bitty, catching up. I wanted to just bring you up to date. But I know that most of us, we want to find that secret of fruitful living. And we don't want to fall into the snare of the enemy or into the trap of the enemy. And we don't want our soul to be suppressed and just living in that place, always knowing that there's something else there, but never attaining it. And so we feel trapped because we know there's something more, but we're not getting to it. I'm telling you, I'm giving you, this is what I have learned over all these past many, many years. These are the things that I have lived, the things that I'm teaching now in this series. And how to manifest God's presence in your life and how to walk in the Spirit. He wants you to be strong in the spirit so that your soul can be won, so that it can be saved, and so that it will, your soul will be made to serve his fullest joy. That's right. It's his joy, and it is his desire that you live a life of serving him. And you know, Jesus, he planned it that we would find that rest in our souls. And he says that it comes by the way of his yoke, which his yoke is a symbol of union and service. He said, come unto me, all those who are what? Weary and heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. And so his yoke is about union with God and service. He doesn't want you to be in bondage and serving the flesh or the world or the devil. And so until we're broken, our soul wants to be the master. But through the cross, praise God for the cross. Hallelujah. Through the cross, it can become a very, very useful servant of the Lord. And so every single person, whether you are called to the five ministry office gifts or not, and most people aren't. I mean, a lot of people think that they are, but there's no fruit in their life, or there could be fruit there, but it's kind of doesn't taste so good because the character is not of God. And you can't not be broken and not have the character of God in your life. You know, so many people come up to me, and I just, you know, a lot of times I get emotional, and it's a very humbling thing, but people, you know, they'll tell me, you know, you're so sweet. You know, there's just a sweetness and a purity about you and about your voice. And it's so honoring and humbling to me, the honor to God, because it is his spirit that is in me. But it's a very vulnerable place to live. And so, but it is the only way that the glory of God is going to be manifested in and through a life. I mean, it's so interesting to hear the things that people are saying and people thinking that they're walking in God's glory. It's like, don't be deceived. Are people getting healed? Are people getting delivered without you even saying anything just because of the presence of God in your life? Come on, y'all. Anyone who serves God is going to find out sooner or later that the greatest hindrance to his work is not others, it's not other people, but it's our own self. And eventually you discover that your outward man and your inward man are not in harmony because they're both going opposite directions. And you really begin to sense that inability of your outward man to even submit to the Holy Spirit to control you. And so the greatest difficulty in our lives is always going to be in concern with our outward man, because our outward man, our soul man, is what hinders us from being used by the Spirit of God. And, you know, being able to release our spirit. And so for that very reason, that's why revival hasn't broken out in a lot of places, because there's still too much of the soul man in control. And so hopefully today you will see this right here, that there's just one basic dealing, one thing that enables man to be useful before God. Remember, Paul said, I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice that's being made holy, and acceptable unto you for your reasonable service. And that one thing is brokenness. That's it. That's it. And I've given you many scriptures that I'm going to give you today. And we're going to move on here. I'm going to teach you for about 15 more minutes, and then I'm going to start taking your phone calls. And so please, whatever you do, please get this in your spirit, because I want to hear those reports from you that you are just, oh my goodness, that you are just seeing people healed at your workplace and in your family, and you're just experiencing the presence of God, and the presence of God is so upon you, and it's just manifesting continually in your life, the presence of God wherever you go, and people are being drawn, and they're looking at you, they're asking you questions, and there's a desire there because they want what you have. And so experiencing the presence of God in your life is totally contingent upon the breaking of your soul man, of your outward man. And remember, you cannot maintain God's presence in your life by memory. Presence is in the spirit and not the memory. And so our spirit is given to us by God to enable us to be able to respond to him. And so our outward man responds to things without him and actually deprives us of the presence of God in our life. So that's why this oh-soul man has just got to, I tell people, Nike thinks that they got this slogan on their own, but just do it. But I'm telling you, they didn't. God's just saying, just do it. Just do it. Just do my word. You don't try it. You do it. You either do his word, you obey it and do it. Joshua said in chapter 1, verse 8, or excuse me, not in verse 8. It's up above that. I don't know which scripture now. But we're so used to saying Joshua 1, 8. But he said in probably around verse 2 or 3, he said to meditate, observe, and then do. Meditate upon God's word. You observe it, but then you must do it. In James, God tells us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. There's too many hearers. That's why I'm not impressed by hearing what you know, because I want to see. I want to see the fruit. I want to see your actions. I want to hear what comes out of your mouth. And I want to hear your heart. There's no character there. Remember, there's a lot of people who are anointed, but there's no character in their life. And I don't care how anointed you are and what gifts you have, you still hurt people because your spirit, because your soul man is not broken. So a lot of people have been hurt in the church. A lot of people have been hurt in the church because of gifts that have been operating with no character. And so for me, I'll pretty much, and I'm a very nice person, but I will cut you off in a New York second. I had a lady who last month in January, I was ministering in the altar area, and she came up, and no doubt she loves the Lord, and God's got her in the palm of her hands. You know what? I'm standing there. I've been pouring out and ministering to people, and she's talking to me, and she starts pointing her finger into my chest and hitting it like boom, boom, and then had the audacity to pop me on my forehead, even though she was just explaining something about you know, another minister laying hands on her, but she literally popped my forehead so hard it popped back. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? And so I just thought, okay, that really didn't just happen. And then, and so I kept speaking to her of ministering. She did it again. She popped me on the forehead, and my head went back again. And I looked at her in a spirit of love, not anger, and I said, please, do not ever touch me again. I said, do not hit me on the forehead like that, and do not ever touch me. I don't know you, and you don't know me, and so you shouldn't be putting your hands on me. You shouldn't be touching me at all. And her eyes kind of watered up, and she said, well, I've never had anybody to talk to me like that before. And my thought was, well, how many people have ministers have you popped on the head like that? You know, it's like things like that. But again, I was really, really nice to her, but I just said, don't ever do that again. And so, you know, things just happen. When you walk in the love of God and when you start walking in just that purity, people abuse that because the enemy wants you to feel weak. But what we have to realize is that there really is a strength that is there, you know, in the midst of that. So I told my guy that was catching, I said, if you ever see anybody raising their hand, one of their arms up, one of their hands up, grab them and escort them out, because that is not going to happen. And you know, we have to walk in that spirit of love, but sometimes when we're releasing that spirit man, the Bible says open rebuke is better than hidden love. Well, what if I would have just stood there? Next time I might have been on my back. And so, you know, we just never know what's going to happen. And so releasing your spirit man, sometimes there is a boldness, you know, that is there for you to, you know, to have to say things like that. But, you know, God is still, he is going to help us. And the sad thing is that there is just, there's too much of a work that needs to be done, but there's too many believers that have just felt so trapped. And like, I know I can do in Christ, but nothing is happening. Please, if you have to listen to this over and over, and this year I started doing this series. I don't know for sure if it's on the first one. I'm going to have to check and see. But, you know, every week my heart is, and as I'm being led by the Spirit of God, is to just give you more and more to help you to see this, and to be able to break through this year and walk in that deliverance and salvation so you can release that to others. And so now, you know, the in Romans 7:22, the Bible says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. Wow, what a powerful, powerful scripture. And I love how the Amplified says, for I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. So he's saying, I delight. So there, that's talking about our inward man. And then Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says, to be strengthened with power by his spirit in the inner man. And so there's a strengthening in our inner man that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this is a great prayer that Paul prayed, that he said, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. There's treasures in his glory, I'm telling you, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself dwelling your innermost being and personality. I love that. And then Paul also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me get there right quick, chapter 4, and then verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. So our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self, our inner man, is being progressively renewed day after day. Indeed, our outward man is consumed, but the inward man is day by day is being renewed. Hallelujah. So when God comes to indwell us by his Spirit, life and power, he comes to, you know, our spirit man, which is our inner man. And so the outside of this inward man is our soul, where we function in our thoughts, our emotions, and our will. And again, the outermost man is our physical body. So the inward man, remember again, is your spirit. Your outward man is your soul. The outermost man is your body. And so don't ever forget, because you do forget this, but don't ever forget that your inward man is the human spirit where God dwells. And it's where his spirit mingles and communes with our spirit. And so just as we are dressed in clothes, our inward man wears an outward man. Okay? The spirit wears the soul. So the spirit and the soul wear the body. And so anyway, just kind of keep, that's a good visual to keep so that you can learn. It's like you've got to get understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. And so so we have to recognize that before God, that the most, or not the most, but the first difficulty to our work is not in others, again, but it's in ourselves. And so our spirit, it's like wrapped up and it's covered so that it can't easily break forth. And so that's why a lot of times you can hug people and you feel absolutely nothing from them. It's just like cold. And it's because, again, a lot of saints do not know how to release their spirit man, because a lot of people in the body of Christ do not really understand and recognize the importance of brokenness. And so always remember that nothing can hinder us in our lives as much as our outward man. And so the Lord, he wants to break our outward man so that our inward man can have a way out. And so when our inward man, our spirit man is released, unbelievers and Christians will be blessed. I see unbelievers and Christians blessed, you know, everywhere that I go. Okay? Now, let's see. Okay. We also covered, and this is such a familiar scripture for so many people, and that's in John chapter 12. He said, except that a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bears much fruit. So life is in the grain of the wheat, but there's a shell, in a very hard shell on the outside. So as long as the shell is not split open, the wheat can't grow. The grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. And so the death is the cracking open of the shell. And that happens through the temperature, through the humidity in the soil, you know, it all has to do with the type of soil that it is in. But once that shell is, you know, it's split open, then the wheat begins to grow. And so it's not whether there's life within, but it's whether the outside shell is cracked open. So for those of you who are listening today, or whenever you are listening, it's not a matter of, if you are born again, it's not a matter of the greatness of God's power that is in you. It's not, and I don't mean that in a, you know, in a bad way at all, because the truth is, his life is in you. The fullness of who God is in your spirit man. It's in your inner man when you are born again. And so, but the question is whether that outside shell is cracked open. And so if the outward man remains unbroken, then the inward man is never able to come forth. If you continue on down in that scripture, verse 25 says that he that loves his life, and the Greek, of course, for life is soul, shall lose it. And he that hates his life, or hates his soul, in this world shall keep it to life eternal. So the Lord shows us here that the outer shell is our own life, our soul life, and the life within is the eternal life that he has given to us. And so that's why it's so necessary to see, you know, to separate the soul and the spirit. That's why the Word of God says that it takes the Word of God to divide the soul and spirit, because our carnal thinking just gets us to thinking so many times that speaking out of our spirit man when we're really speaking out of our soul man. And so, so anyway, we want to, you already have the life of Christ in you. So it's not about you getting more of his life in you or obtaining his life, but you have to learn to how to allow that life to come forth and to flow out of you. And so, you know, when we say that we need for the Lord to break us, it's so vital. It's a necessity that you are broken by the Lord. And we don't want to keep our inner man, our spirit man, imprisoned. And so, again, if the outward man remains unbroken, then we can never be a blessing to the church. And we can't even expect the Word of God to be blessed by him through us. So it's not that the Lord can't bless the church, but his life in us is so confined because we do not die to self. We don't allow that outward man to be broken. And so, you know, C.C. Winans, and I'm about to wrap this up and take your calls. C.C. Winans, just a precious woman of God, and so many of you are probably familiar with her song, too, The Alabaster Box. Oh, it's just beautiful, you know, and the Bible tells us about the pure spikenard, or, you know, the perfume is what they called it. And God, he purposely used the term pure to show that it is, you know, it's truly spiritual. And so, but if that alabaster box, if Mary would have never broken that, if it would have not ever been broken, pure spikenard, that oil, it would not have been able to flow. And so just kind of think of yourself as having that alabaster box. And although we treasure, you know, I have some alabaster boxes. I mean, they're different shapes and sizes, and they're beautiful. They are beautiful. And really interesting, I'm just thinking about yesterday. Oh, yes, yesterday afternoon before I had a counseling appointment, I was in my office and I took out a box and I took out this beautiful round alabaster box, just beautiful, gotten it from TBN. I mean, it was just beautiful. And inside it is, you know, was a little cup deal with a lid that fit down in this round alabaster box. I mean, just so beautiful. And then there was another container, and the container that I had in it was, you know, was emptied. And I was trying to get the lid out of it. And as I did, as I was getting that lid out of it, the alabaster top part of the alabaster box where I was trying to get that lid out, it just broke. It just like totally broke. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. You know, sometimes we value the treasure box more than what is inside of it. Sometimes we value ourselves more and we think more of our outward man than the preciousness of our inward man. And this has become a problem really in, you know, in the church. And so sometimes we treasure our emotions and too much, and we esteem ourselves as such an important person, you know, in the body of Christ. And we're regarding ourselves, sometimes feeling like we're better than others because our eloquence or our teaching or our degrees or whatever is, you know, it surpasses others or the knowledge that we have. And the truth is that, you know, we're not. And so, you know, sometimes we're like those antique collectors. And, you know, we want to smell that. You know, when I've gone into, you know, like antique shops and stuff, and I open up those perfume bottles, those real old bottles are just really, really pretty, and boxes, you know, I open it up because I want to smell. You know, I want to smell the fragrance that is there. And there is a fragrance in each and every one of you released and through, you know, in and through your lives. Remember, there must be the breaking of the outward man so that the inward man, your spirit man, can be released and flow out of you. And so, you know, individually, we have no flowing out, but the church at large doesn't either. And so, but our outward man must be broken because our outward man, it contains, drains the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ that is in us. The Holy Spirit still wants to work in you and still wants to work in me so that that fragrance can be manifested. And many of you have heard me share on programs, if you've listened, when that fragrance began to manifest in my life so many years ago. You know, it's such a beautiful, beautiful fragrance. And when that outward man is broken, you know, it just begins to release that fragrance. And so remember, we're like this treasure box that has to be broken, and because we're very precious to our Father. He said, how precious is the death of my saints? Well, yes, the death that we transition from this place to there, but that death in our lives every day as we die to self. Oh, I just get... Because the Lord, He is preparing each and every one of us that will let Him to... He's preparing us so that He can pour out of us the treasure of this earthen vessel is the knowledge of Jesus Christ that's on the inside of you. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, it's so that we as these earthen vessels, we're clay, it's to break our alabaster box and to crack open our shell. And so brokenness becomes the way. It's the way of blessing. It's the way of fragrance. It's the way of fruitfulness. But it's also that pathway that in Hebrews that is sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Because we have a lot of blood that we've shed from a lot of wounds that we have gotten in this journey. And so, you know, we have to keep offering ourselves to the Lord to be at His service. Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice that's being made holy and acceptable. And so one of us has to find out for our own self what the mind of Christ is, you know, in our lives. And we need for Him to open our eyes and to see that everything that comes into our lives is meaningful. Whatever you've gone through, the Lord doesn't waste one thing. And so to understand the Lord's purpose enables us to very clearly see that this one thing is, and that is the breaking of the outward man so that He can come out of us. And you know, when that fragrance, when I was really encountered brokenness in my life and really was learning how to live a life of brokenness, not really realizing, you know, having the knowledge and the wisdom I've shared with you today and on these other programs. But, you know, I had conquered something in my life, but I also had mastered it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, says that as I triumphantly overcome, as I triumphantly overcome, there is a fragrance of the knowledge of Christ that is revealed through me. And so as I studied that out and learned that, you know, we overcome in this life, but our soul man is so addicted to the works of the flesh that we can find ourselves right back into that place of bondage. And so He wants us to triumphantly overcome. And what that word triumphant means is to master sin. It's to master those things of the flesh. And so when we master something, it's gone. When we master something, there has been a total breaking of the soul. There has been a total breaking of the outward man, and it releases the fragrance of Christ in us and through our lives. And so, you know, that is just... you know, that is such a blessing of the Lord that we can reveal the rose of Sharon, that we can release the presence of God, but the fragrance of Christ that is life-giving to other people. And, you know, when the Lord started manifesting that fragrance, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know a soul that was happening to. And so it was kind of an awkward thing, and no one could explain it to me. Of course, I just gave you the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, what the Lord gave me. He doesn't want you to just overcome. He wants you to master it. And the problem is in the body of Christ today, because of the lack of brokenness in the body of Christ, we don't master sin, and we don't know the master. I share this repeatedly, year after year, just all the time, that Jesus is not just our Lord and Savior. He's our master. I don't know what people are thinking when they read that scripture when Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father speak. Jesus got under that umbrella and recognized and respected Father, Abba Father, as master. He's the master of my life. And so, see, we've been taught, yes, he is my Lord. Jesus is the Lord of my life. He is the Lord of my family. And then we go down all the list. He is Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah Sidkenu. He's Jehovah Matatus. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's Jehovah Shalom. You know, we know that, okay? We know and we've learned, okay? And then he's my Savior. He saved me from pornography. He saved me from addiction. He saved me from gluttony. He saved me from anger. He saved me from bitterness. And he said, we know him as Savior, but you don't hear about Master. Because if you want to know the Master, you will live a disciplined life. If you want to know the Master, your outer man, your soul man will be broken. There will be a breaking in your life. And so, because master, again, is a very disciplined to know the master. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, I'm going to read it out amplified. It says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ, which exhales unto God, discernible alike among those who are being saved and among those who are being perishing. So when we're broken and we begin to reveal Christ and we release that fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, people, you know, ask all the time, and quite frankly, back then, I got pretty embarrassed one day because I knew and I understood totally, but most Christians didn't even know, because most Christians I knew hadn't even encountered and experienced the release of this fragrance through their lives. And so one day, you know, after a few years of having to explain to people, my focus was still a lot on myself because I was embarrassed to share something that I knew that, like I said, a great majority of the body of Christ did not even know about. And I felt weird. I felt strange. I felt, you know, and so one day when I was in the TBCY yogurt place or was in the yogurt store, and the young man behind the counter, he said, oh, ma'am, he said, what fragrance do you have on? And, you know, there were people behind me, and it was just like, oh, goodness, not again. You know, it's just like one more time, and this time I got so into my flesh, y'all. I said, you know, I just don't remember what I put on today. And, oh, my heart dropped to the floor. I mean, if a heart could have fallen out of the body and dropped to the floor, mine did. I was so grieved, y'all. I was just grieved to no end because I knew that I had just grieved the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit in us, mingling, communicating with our spirit man is the one who reveals Jesus to us, and then Jesus reveals the Father to us, but Holy Spirit in us is the one who reveals Jesus to others in and through our lives. And so do y'all know for 2 years that fragrance did not manifest at all? And at times I would think about it, y'all, and I would just cry. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry I grieved you. Father, please forgive me. I'll never grieve your spirit again. I will let people know. You know, I will tell them, and I will let them know. And do you know that what happened was it finally, that fragrance began to manifest again? But it's life to people. But you know, you have to know him as master. And so that fragrance just brought so much life to people. But again, it's not about the manifestation of the fragrance. It's about manifesting Jesus. It's about showing others who Jesus is. And so God wants us to choose the best, which is his best. And so, you know, there's so much that he can do in and through our lives if our man is not the, or excuse me, if our soul man is the one who is not in the way. So again, we must continually, you know, be willing to let him be master, and to be, to let that treasure that is in us, that earthen vessel, to be revealed within us. And if the vessel's not broken, that treasure of the knowledge of Christ cannot be revealed in and through our lives. And so he wants to, God's objective, or the Lord's objective in our lives and working in our lives, yes, so that we can work out our salvation, but it is to break this earthen vessel, to break our alabaster box, and to crack open our shell. And so the Lord, he longs to find a way to bless the world through those of us who belong to him. And remember, brokenness is the way of blessing. It's the way of fragrance. It's the way of fruitfulness. But it also shows the blood of Jesus that has been sprinkled over our way, if you will. And because there has been, again, a lot of blood from a lot of wounds, but we continually offer ourselves to the Lord to be at his service, to serve him, to be whatever he needs for us to be at whatever given moment that might be. And so, remember, you have within you the ability to find out what the mind of Christ is for you and for your life. But we've got to recognize, man, Lord, I need you to open up the eyes of my understanding so that you can see everything that comes into your life. It's meaningful. It has purpose in it, even if you don't see it. You know, the Lord, he doesn't waste one thing. And so to understand his purpose is to barely clearly see that he is really aiming at this one thing in our lives, and that is to break our outward man. And we have to realize that all of our experiences, our troubles, and our trials that the Lord sends us is for our good, really is. And so I just want to encourage you, and I'm going to take your calls. I'm going to begin to take your calls now. And I just want to encourage you, and I pray today that what I have taught, that you allow it to just simmer inside of you, and that you have that hope within you in knowing that God wants to reveal his glory, But it's not just going to happen because it's spoken. We have to, and we must do our part. And so let me go on ahead, and I'm going to take the first caller here, and the area code is 646. You are on the line right now. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Apostle. This is Helena.
Hi, Helena. How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed. Yes, I'm enjoying the show. I always look forward to your program. It's very interesting, educative, and life transforming. And it's brought a lot of clarity and confirmation to some things, you know, to me. And I just bless God for your life and for, you know, you availing yourself for the Lord to use you to bless us. And I just want to say praise God for, you know, everything that's going on here. Yeah.
Praise God. Well, thank you so much. And excuse me, I'm grateful to hear that the Lord is, you know, ministering to you and teaching you and showing you. And I just, you know, my heart really is that every person, you know, every son and daughter of Christ would see that any kind of measure of fruitfulness in our life, it requires the breaking of our outward man to, you know, to be able to allow the release of the Spirit of God in our lives. And that's the cry that I hear from people's heart all the time. You know, how can I walk in the presence of God? But a lot of people, again, as I said before, don't want to hear this kind of message. And it behooves me because it's what works. It's His way. That's His ultimate goal, objective, is to, you know, for our outward man to be broken so that He can be released in and through our lives. And it's an exciting life. You know, it really is an exciting life. And so many more people, there wouldn't be, if people would learn how to live a life of brokenness, and I don't care how much people say, and I don't mean this to be Kathy or anything, but too many people out there think they're walking in the glory. And, you know, they make comments about the glory of God in their lives, and they don't even know.
Hmm.
It's like, again, it's like, okay, you've got fruit, but it tastes bad because your heart isn't right.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the soul man is broken, when that outward man is broken, your heart gets right.
Hmm.
So when you speak that truth, it's edible, it's palatable to others, and it's, you know, it's something that others, it's like, oh, I can have this too, or, you know, I can walk in this too, and so, you know, it's very, it's a way of life, and you just learn to live like that, and it's like I've, you know, lived like this for many, many years, and you know, I'm always overwhelmed at responses to people everywhere I go, and, you know, people feeling the presence of God and knowing there's something, you know, really different, but seeing, you know, people brought, they're brought to tears, and, you know, seeing people walk into our home and they stop after about 3 steps and tears start flowing down their face because, you know, our home is filled with the glory and the presence of God. And it's, you know, our home is, it's His secret place, but that goes out. It's not, you know, it's like when I go into people's homes and it's sometimes I want to walk right out.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because their home is not, the things in their home have not been conquered yet. And, but you have to maintain that. And, you know, people can actually come into your homes and get healed. And a lot of times without you ever even talking about God, just simply because they're in the presence of God. They're in the anointing, you know, that's destroying the yokes, and they're encountering the presence of God. And so we have a lot of pastors and leaders out there, you know, their homes are a wreck. Their homes are, you know, there's strife and division and envy and jealousy. And then you get in the pulpit and it's in the church. You've got people that from other churches that think you're a sinner because you left their church, you know, and it's like, it's just all this stuff, you know. There can be an input to it. It would realize your soul man has to be broken. That's it. Your outward man must be broken so that your inward man can get out. It's like I use this a lot of times as an example. I love those big old, well, I don't eat them anymore, and I shouldn't even say I love them. I used to be addicted to those big old cinnamon rolls. And it's like, you know, you do the outward, and it's you know, it's pretty good. Then you do the next layer, and it's pretty good. But, man, you get that very centerpiece. Ooh, it is the best. It's got all the butter in it. It's got all the cinnamon in it. And it's just like, you know, I just used to call that, that's the ooey-gooey. That's the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the best. You know, it's like he's... Holy Spirit is God in this earth, and that one bite, that little round dot, that circle in the middle of the cinnamon roll, that one bite right there is explosive. I mean, there's something that happens on the inside of your mouth, and just, you know, when you eat that one bite, than there is on any other place of that cinnamon roll. There really is. And that is how, that is like it is with, and it's not saying that the Father's not great and Jesus isn't great, because yes, they are, but we have to recognize Holy Spirit, he manifests the power of who Jesus and the Father is. And so he wants to explode inside of us. I taught that at a church I was ministering for Sunday morning in Dallas. It's like, he wants to explode on the inside of us. He wants to come out and you know, and explode and you know, show us the greatness of who Jesus is and the Father. So anyway, I wish and I hope and I pray that people heed to this word. And we'll, you know, just start allowing that. And it simply begins with just the acts of obedience.
Yes.
Don't do what you know is wrong.
Yes. Because I've had experiences, you know, when I went into a church and, you know, I didn't feel any love. There was no love. I mean, the word was there. Prayer and all, you know, everything. There was no connection at all, and I was just dry, and I felt depressed, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
what's going on? I mean, how can God be here, and there's no love, you know?
Yeah,
God is love, and so there has to be that love, you know. It has to be felt, but it
right. And God was there, you know. That's the thing.
He was there. Right? I mean,
there.
I knew I could testify that God was there. I mean, miracles were happening and everything. But
that's
you know,
Holy Spirit.
It, like you're saying, the outer man wasn't broken, so there wasn't that, you know,
exactly.
Completion. Something missing, you know.
Right, our spirit man has to govern the soul and the body. That's why for years I've taught people, and I've spoken this on the radio program many times, is one way to come into a place of alignment is to begin to speak to your, to tell your body to submit to your soul, and your soul, this is what I do, because our we're made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. So I tell body, you line up with the soul. Soul man, you line up with the, my spirit man, my inner man. And spirit man, you line up with the spirit of God. And so years ago, I would speak that every single day. And I just admonish people even today, or whenever you're listening to this, do that for 21 days. Get up every morning and command your temple to come into alignment, that your body submits to your soul submits to your spirit, and your spirit submits to your spirit man. What happens is you are speaking unity to your person, to who you are. And then when you establish that unity in yourself, then you'll find yourself, you know, when you sit down to pray, your eyelids don't get heavy on you. You don't fall asleep. And, you know, or your mind doesn't go to wondering, oh, I've got to do this afternoon, so I better only stay here for 20 minutes, you know, or 30 minutes. Your mind, that, you know, it's a way of taking, of governing. We must learn to let the spirit man govern our soul and our body. And, you know, and so that's what we do. Because the government of the church is on the shoulders, or the government of God is on the shoulder, with Jesus being the head. That's what Isaiah said. So we have to learn. Well, sometimes you just have to do those, what I tell people all the time, these elementary things, you know. Just like in this past week in the service, I had that I was, one of the places I was at this past weekend, I had people to, oh, it was the service on Saturday I did, I had people to write on the bottom of their shoes. I bought these big old Sharpie pens and had them to write on the bottom of their shoes. And I put my boots up on the chair and I said, see, I did it myself. And so, because, you know, it's, we need to do whatever we need to do to position ourselves so that we can live a life of fruitfulness with character. Some people have fruit with no character, and that's kind of what you were saying a while ago. But, you know, it's like miracles were happening, words were being spoken, but there was no really manifestation of God's glory, which is his love. And that's why several years ago, you know, I started just declaring this and decreeing it all the time, the anointing of God and leadership and authority is not going to be enough in these last days. The glory of God is going to have to be manifested. It's, you know, no longer will the anointing be enough, because you can live like the devil and operate in the anointing of God, and God calls you a worker of iniquity. You know, he says you're a worker of iniquity. And then he says, depart from me. So, but anyway,
will you pray with me?
I will. Let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you for Helena, your daughter. Lord God, thank you for raising her up for such a time as this. And Father, thank you that you have called her unto yourself. And Lord God, I thank you that in the days, Lord God, that he will begin to manifest your spirit in such a powerful way. Father God, she'll begin to release words that she has been holding inside of her for a very long time. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that she will begin to open up at that alabaster box, and the treasure of the knowledge of you, Christ, will be seen in and through her life. And Father, we will see your blessings in a mighty way. Father, thank you for her heart and her obedience towards you. Father, I thank you that this is the year, this is what I'm hearing the Lord say, that this is a year of many breakthroughs for you, not just a breakthrough, but many breakthroughs. That's what I hear the Lord saying. Praise God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Helena, I love you. Praise God. I love you dearly, and I'm going to move on so I can get the rest of our callers before the program's over today, and, which will be in a few minutes, but just
Amen.
Remain blessed. You're precious, Amen. And I love you with the love of the Lord.
Love you too. Amen.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Praise God. Precious, precious woman up in New York. Okay, now I'm going to area code 210. You are on the air right now. Who am I speaking with? 210? You're on the air right now.
Yes, Apostle. Can
yes.
you hear me?
I can. I can.
Okay. You are speaking. Yes.
Hi, Monya. Great, honey. You're calling from San Antonio, right?
Exactly.
Okay. How are you? What can I pray with you about today?
Okay. Oh, I'm okay. I've heard all you said this morning. I'm so happy. My prayer is this, Apostle. Oh, God is, the way I'm seeing, God is using me, but sometimes I don't know why I will feel like I'm alone without, you know, still knowing that God is there with me. While I say this is the way God is using me now, the way he's moving me, I'm seeing a lot of speed, like moving me, but because of the fear in me, and sometimes I think that I'm alone. People are calling me everywhere, here and there, to pray for them. In my workplace, I started praying for the residents. On my off days, I will go in and pray for them. They gave me a list of the Christians, and they told me that I can talk to anybody too. Yeah, but it's like I'm alone. Sometimes fear, like I want somebody who
okay.
is higher, who have gone far, like you, to, you know, to give the person report, this is how I'm doing, to for the person to either, it's like, somebody
right.
to back me up, you know. So I feel that way sometimes. And when I see the speed, the Lord is taking me up, but I'm not moving with that speed because of the fear
right.
and my thinking in me. I started thinking like that, and I started saying, God, I need a spiritual mother or a spiritual father who can guide me. Honestly, as the sister you just talked to now, the fourth sister, Helena, she was the one that introduced me to your line. I called her few weeks or last week that I saw you in my spirit, that like you're my spirit mother. But I don't know if I don't know how to call you on phone to talk to you person by person.
Okay.
That's what I'm going through now.
Let me encourage you, because I can't go into all of this on the program right now, because, you know, I have other callers that are wanting prayer. So what I would just ask you to do is to go to my website and go to the where it has where you can contact me and use
okay.
that avenue. And then I will get back with you, and I'll know. When I see Monya, I'll know that it's you,
okay.
but you can just say I'm from the radio program. And one thing I'll say, because I believe this will minister to other people as well, and that is, you know, how you feel, how you said you were alone at times. I know that many experience that, and they feel that,
Jesus.
Even though they're doing the things for the Lord that they're doing. And the thing is, that ministry can never replace relationships. Ministry can never replace a relationship. So it doesn't matter how much ministry you do, that aloneness that you feel sometimes is actually the it's the Holy Spirit that's drawing you and quickening you, because the bridegroom longs for his bride. The bridegroom longs every day for us to get up and to commune with him. And so it's God uses that loneliness a lot of times to draw us even unto himself. And sometimes Monya is just sitting in his presence, and not even necessarily me saying something or him saying something. It's just our spirits communing, and I'm just sitting in his presence and resting. I feel the warmth of his embrace, and it's because he desires intimacy. And so in and through living a life of brokenness, you finally learn to adapt to intimacy. Because in the end, when we get there, all it's going to be is us and him, ultimately. You know, it's going to be our relationship. Of course, we're going to be there all with each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But the ultimate thing is our intimacy, koinonia, that fellowship that we'll have with him, which will surpass any moment of intimacy here on this earth, because we will then be in the fullness before him and who he is. And so so ministry, again, can never replace that relationship. And it doesn't matter how busy you get with the ministry, and because I know, oh, believe me, I know that, but my the antidote for loneliness is to be with him.
Jesus.
It's just, you know, you get to that place to where I tell people, I don't care where I am out in public, if I have to do grocery shopping or if I have to go to a special store or whatever, when I feel that loneliness, because a lot of times when I go outside of my home, I feel real alone, because it's, you know, I mean, I have to leave this place that where, you know, we've built for him here in our home, and I have to leave this place of his presence to go out there, to even go into our church that we pastor. But what I can do is at any given moment, because of that relationship that I've developed with him and keep developing, I can just close my eyes and, you know, I'm with him. So I'll just close my – I'll sit in the parking lot for a few minutes and just close my eyes and just commune with him. And then I know that he's there. It's no longer, again, it's no longer the memory of a presence. It's like I'm not obtaining his presence by a memory. You can't get into his presence through a memory either. But that's what a lot of people think, and that's why they're frustrated with their lives. But I take that moment to shut myself off from everything except for him. And then all of a sudden, girlfriend, I don't feel lonely anymore. I know that he is there, and he just makes it right. That's all I know how to say. But I'm just going to pray for you real, real quick and get to our next caller, and that's all I'm going to have time for today, because we're down to the last 10 minutes here of the program. But, Father God, I just thank you for Monya. Father, I thank you for her heart towards you. And, Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that as she grows even more and more in that relationship with you, Father God, that fear falls off because your love has captivated her heart. And Father, I thank you that where love is, fear cannot be. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that she's just deepening her relationship with you. She's learning more and more ways, Father, in just separating herself and just pulling herself aside, Father, to be with you and to just learn of your ways. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you use loneliness in our lives, Father, as a disciplinary thing, and even isolation, Father, you even use that isolation as well as that loneliness. And so, Father, thank you, Lord God, that you have her heart, Father, that she is yours and you are hers. And, Father, thank you, Lord God, for revealing to her just the simplicity of spending just that quality time with you, even though there may not be quantity time because our lives seem to be so busy with everyday living. Father, thank you that quantity moments can be powerful than quality moments can be so much more powerful than quantity moments, because we can spend 2 hours in your presence and still sometimes not come out of that place when we've only been with you for a few moments. So, Father, thank you for leading and guiding Vanya by your Holy Spirit. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God, just for that great place of awareness of you, Father, in her lives. And, Lord God, thank you for the comfort of your sweet Holy Spirit in her life. In Jesus' name.
I love you too.
Thank you. And write me at my email address, and I will get back with you this week. Absolutely.
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much. I love you.
Thank bless. Thank you. I love you too, dear. Bye-bye. Bye. Praise God. What a beautiful people y'all are. Okay, here we go now. And area code. Let's see, 216, you're on the air now. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Apostle Diane. It's Joyce in Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
How are you, friend?
I'm well. I have to tell you that what a blessing. These teachings are so awesome. I thank you so much.
Oh, praise God. That is such a blessing to me.
Oh, well, you know, God does a work in us and hopefully through us. But I would just ask you to just pray. Whatever God wants to say is fine.
Okay. I will certainly do that.
Thank you.
Father, I did for your daughter. And, Father, thank you that you are just raising Joyce up, Lord God, for this hour. Father, I thank you for the joy that is beginning to bubble up out of her, for the joy that is beginning to be released, Father, so that others can draw off of that strength, Lord God, that you have given to her, that you have placed within her, Father, in and through her obedience to you and, Father, to your word. Father, thank you for just continuing to open the eyes of her understanding up and, Father, revealing to her the mysteries of God, for revealing to her, Father, who you are. Father, that you are all that she has need of. Father, that you have raised her up for such a time as this. And Father, I thank you, Father, for the pathway that is being cleared even now. Father, I thank you that you are clearing a pathway. I see a pathway and it's being cleared. Joyce.
Thank you.
And it's like on this pathway, I mean, there were some big objects, but they're just being removed. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for removing just the things off of her pathway, Lord God, as she steps into this next place of her destiny. Father, as although she's been walking in her destiny, Father, I thank you that you're showing and revealing to her the just another step, another place, another part of the destiny in which you are opening up and revealing to her, Father, that she will know even more the mind of Christ on her behalf. And she will know, Father, what you have purposed in your heart for her at such a time as this. Now, Father, continue to do what you're doing and what only you can do, Father, as she just allows you to continue working in her and working through her. Father, thank you for just the oil of your spirit being released, covering her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And I just see that happening with others, too, right now that are listening. There's an oil that's being released, and some of you can maybe literally feel something just coming on you and just going down your shoulders and your arms. Hallelujah. And just down your body. Father, thank you for that precious oil. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that as you're covering her, Lord God, with that oil, Father, I thank you that the oil, that it will begin to come out, that it will begin to be released in and through her life. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you that you are raising your daughter up. And, Father, you're preparing her in these coming months that she would go forth in the power and might of your Holy Spirit. And, Father, that she will be that witness in whatever place that you would send her to. Father, that you would bring her to, even if it's at Dillard's or if it's at the grocery store or wherever it is at, Father, that your kingdom will be manifested and she will see unusual and uncommon things happening in the spirit because she is releasing her spirit man to those that you send her to. Father, thank you for the fruit that will come forth in the days to come. And it's all for your glory so that you might be glorified and others know that you are the only one true living God, that you are Jehovah, sovereign God. We just give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Praise the Lord. That's just awesome. And I love you, too, with the love of the Lord.
I love you, too.
I look forward to hearing from you again. And we've got 90 seconds, so I'm going to go to the program. Okay. I love you. Praise the Lord. I love each and every one of you. Again, if you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, please come and see me. Email me, Facebook message me, get a hold of me, and just know that you are precious in the sight of the Lord, that you are such a blessing in the body of Christ. Now go forth and release your spirit, man, and live a life of brokenness, and I look forward to being with you again next week on February the 12th, and that is our love special. That is going to be our love special, but I'm still going to be talking about living a life of brokenness and releasing your spirit, man. Okay, until next week, go forth in his glory, and I love each and every one of you. But more than that, he loves you. Bye-bye.